KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Welcome into ABQ Connect. Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, on the phone with us this afternoon. And Brian's going to talk to us today about tax reforms and changes that are happening. Brian, how are you today?
Things are good, sir. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I always enjoy our time together. We have 10-minute updates with you pretty frequently, almost every week, an occasional break here and there, and then we're going to have you in for an hour as we get into July to give us a little bit more of the nuts and bolts of investing and watching the markets and so forth. Brian, the news, our new administration, Joe Biden, is just proposed a big infrastructure package, and there's all kinds of spending going on in the government, and it sounds like they want more of our tax money. What are the changes going on?
Well, just about everything. So there's a lot of different kinds of taxes out there that are administered by the federal government, and basically the proposal is to increase almost every one of them. So when we talk about individuals, you're looking at your income tax rate, which the Biden administration would like to increase, especially for those making over $400,000 per year as a couple. There's also a proposal to increase Social Security taxes, capital gains taxes, which are the taxes you pay when you sell something for a profit, as well as the estate tax, which is the tax your heirs pay when you die. So really, they want to bump up rates really across the board.
And, you know, Brian, I guess when you're going through this list here, capital gains taxes is obviously something profoundly that will profoundly affect investors in the markets. And as being a financial planner, you have to take all of that into consideration when developing a plan.
Absolutely. What's important when you're investing is not just how much growth do you experience, but how much growth do you keep? So depending on the instrument you use, like an IRA or a Roth IRA or an annuity, there are different tools out there that are taxed differently. And then when we look at capital gains, we have to be wise about, as we, you know, see investments appreciate, when we sell them, how much tax will we pay? So there's a lot of anxiety, and people think about selling stocks often when they think about capital gains, but there's also a lot of capital gains that business owners pay. Let's say you start up a small business in Albuquerque and you grow it from just yourself to dozens of employees and millions of dollars in value, and then you sell that business someday, you will pay capital gains on that. And so right now the proposals have dramatic increases in capital gains for especially for folks who might incur over $1 million of capital gain in a year, which could be that small business owner who, you know, worked a lifetime growing a business, and now rather than paying about 23.8% tax on that, the proposals put that above 40% tax on those capital gains.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of money. And again, you know, I think back to the way our government spends money, and I don't know that that's ever been something that's an efficient, I guess, formula, if you will. It seems like we're taxed, and I guess when you compare us to other countries, we're not quite as heavily taxed as many other countries are. So the perspective is really just to come up with a good plan and to vote, I guess, your wallet and your checkbook when the time comes, if people are feeling pain with these tax hikes and so forth. But this is a completely different approach than the prior administration took to generating tax revenues in our country, isn't it?
It is. And the previous approach that we really lived with for the last several decades was that lower taxes might actually stimulate more activity because it restricts, it does not restrict the flow of money. And a good example of that is in the past when those capital gain rates were much higher, a lot of people on the left like to say, well, taxes used to be a lot higher and it didn't impede economic growth. But what they don't always tell you is that those higher tax rates did not always include higher tax revenues. So basically, you raise the taxes high enough and people stop performing whatever behavior creates those taxes. So for capital gains, for example, there's actually some pretty reputable think tanks that have run estimates that the higher capital gains will not only will they not increase tax revenues, they may actually decrease tax revenues because people are not willing to sell an investment if it takes on such a high tax rate. So a lot of this you have to wonder, is it symbolic, you know, that we're taxing the rich, or is it really about increasing revenues? Because history shows that increasing taxes over a certain level will not increase revenues. People just change their behaviors. And sometimes those behavior changes could actually impede economic activity and hurt the overall economy.
Brian, I don't know if you've heard anything along these lines, but there has been, up to this point, a one-time exemption for from taxes on a primary residence. As, say, a couple goes through life, they buy a home, they sell it, they buy a home, they sell it. But as long as it's been their primary residence, they've been able to, at kind of the end when they sell that, to be exempt from any taxes. Is the government looking at possibly taxing that?
They're not changing that. That's one of the better parts of our tax code, I think, that we allow people to treat their residence like a resident, not as a capital investment. Now, of course, there is a limit to that. It's only $500,000 of gain that's exempted. So you can have someone from a high real estate price area like California who could exceed that and end up paying taxes. But in general, most people in New Mexico don't see that much appreciation in their home historically. Now, lately, the real estate market's been so hot, maybe there are some high-income investors with high real estate values that are going to exceed $500,000, but it's typically quite rare in New Mexico.
Brian, how will you interface now with tax professionals, I guess both tax attorneys and CPAs, in creating a plan for someone?
We're already having those conversations with our favorite tax professionals that we work together to serve our clients. And in some cases, we're talking about accelerating some capital gains into this year in the anticipation that rates may not go as high as Biden has proposed, but they will be going up. So we're trying to figure out, you know, how do we manage this changing tax situation? It's hard, though. You know, it's a difficult thing. And so sometimes you have to be willing to pay more tax than you have to today to avoid paying a higher tax rate in the future. And that's a common conversation that we're having with clients right now, and trying to be as proactive as possible in the face of these changes.
Brian, you have a lot of free information on johnmoore.com. Can you tell our listeners how to access that information?
Yeah, just visit the website, johnmoore.com. On the top right, you'll see the Insights button. Just click that. And that has all of our latest blog posts. In the past, when there's been tax reform, we will not only write blog posts, but we'll also invite CPAs and other experts to come do videos for us that you can then watch to learn. I find that taxes are one of those areas where there's a lot of misinformation. So, Jim, do we have a minute to close with a couple quick stats?
Absolutely.
So I just want to say, you know, one of the things you're going to hear a lot in the next few months as tax reform is discussed is that the rich need to pay their fair share. And I want to share these stats so that people feel more educated as to what their fair share is. Right now, the most recent year we have is 2018. The top 1% of taxpayers paid 40% of all income taxes. And the top 5% of taxpayers paid 60% of all income taxes. And the lowest 50% only paid less than 3%. So if you, you know, if you think these taxes are a good idea to pay their fair share, I'd ask you, what is that fair share, and how do we get there?
Well, and already it sounds like when you say that the top 1% of taxpayers, are those the highest level income people, are paying 40% of the tax collected now?
That's right, out of just 1% of the population. And again, the top 5% are paying 60%. So it's really the top 10 start to pay a lot, but the bottom 50% are paying less than 3%. So the burden is already it's already a very progressive tax system in the sense that the higher income earners are paying a lot. People want to increase that, but there's really only so much spending you can do and continue to tax the top. Eventually, those taxes have to come down to the bottom 50% to cover the liabilities that the government's subject to.
And Brian, we are frequently hearing the opposite out of the news media, that the most wealthy people in our country are not paying taxes. That seems to be inaccurate.
Yeah, they like to pick out certain exceptions, or they use different criteria. For example, there was a report that came out recently that showed that, you know, various wealthy billionaires were only paying a very low tax rate, but they didn't calculate their income. They calculated their increase in net worth. So, for example, you know, someone like a Jeff Bezos who started Amazon. So they were not counting his income he received. They were counting the increase in Amazon stock price, of which many people benefit from. But if he doesn't sell the Amazon stock, I don't understand how we would tax him upon that. So there's some really deceiving numbers out there to make it look more imbalanced than it is. In the end, I don't know how much you want that top 5% to pay, but paying more than half of all the taxes in the top 5% seems like a pretty significant portion to me.
What I'm most fascinated with is when you mention some of these wealthy individuals, they seem to be the folks that endorse, like President Biden. And that seems contrary to what I would expect. They're going to pay more money when they elect Joe Biden than they are than say Donald Trump, our past president. So it just seems I never can figure out the motivations that people have when it comes to voting. But I do want to encourage all of our listeners. This is exactly the kind of information that I like everybody to have. Brian is gracious to share it. It is something that we need to consider when we go to the voting booth, and it's very important.
Yep, and I'll leave you with a quick quote here. Let me see if I can find it from Bill Gates. I thought it really spoke well to what you're talking about with the idea that some of these people who would pay higher taxes support higher taxes. And he said, if I had to pay $20 billion, it's fine. Again, this is Bill Gates. But when you say I should pay $100 billion, well, then I'm starting to do a little math about what I have left over. So everyone's willing to pay a little more tax up to a limit. There is a threshold at which all of us will change our behaviors.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us on ABQ Connect, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Jim.